We did hear the story read for us ably, with great ability, but I want to review the scene again. Simon, an upstanding, influential Jewish leader. This is inference on my part, guesswork, a Pharisee, sitting in his own home with invited guests, sitting around a dinner table. Included in this guest list was Jesus, a man whose teaching and miracles reminded some people of the prophets of old. Perhaps invited out of curiosity, perhaps invited to see if he really was what people were saying about him. But there was also an uninvited guest, a woman who had a bad reputation in this small town of Galilee. She is labeled a sinner. I suppose, unlike all the sinless men gathered around the table with her. She had come in and sat on the ground behind Jesus, and she was washing his feet. Now Simon thought to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know. Meaning, of course, that Jesus didn't appear to be a prophet in this moment. Meaning, of course, that Simon was the one who could truly see what was going on. Simon could truly see who this woman was. Unclean, a sinner, contamination in his own home. And he could see that Jesus was not a prophet. Simon had thought to himself, if this man were a prophet. And so it is with great irony that Luke proceeds with Jesus saying, Simon, I have something to say to you. Jesus in this moment makes it clear what Simon is thinking. He can see as prophetically what Simon is thinking. I have something to say to you. Rabbi, speak, Simon said. And Jesus told the parable we heard about a creditor forgiving a small debt to one person and a large debt to another person. And then he asks Simon, which of these debtors will love the creditor more? And Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. And again, Luke is being ironic here. Simon has been doing a whole bunch of judging up to this point. But here is his first time judging rightly. Jesus then turned to face the woman. And while looking at the woman, he spoke to Simon. Do you see this woman? Now we already know Simon's answer. He's been telling us all along, Luke has been telling us all along that Simon is confident that he can see this woman more clearly than Jesus. I can see who she is. It's you, Jesus, that can't see her. Unless, of course, Jesus was a prophet and could see Simon's thoughts and could see all that was going on in this woman's life. What was it that Jesus wanted Simon to see? Let's back up. What reason did Simon have to be so dismissive, so merciless towards the woman? This conflict appears again and again in the Gospels between religious leaders and Jesus, as if they had perceived that God's purposes in the world were to divide good people from bad people. Whereas Jesus seemed to be coming to reveal that God's purposes were to save all people, were to bring those who knew that they were sinners into forgiveness, to bring those who thought they did not need forgiveness into a sense of their own need to be made right with God and with other people. We can only pray and hope that Jesus' words to Simon changed him and his guests. We are not told any more about them. This scene ends, focused entirely on the woman. She is forgiven, and Jesus grants her peace to go on her way. But some people, we are told, took notice. People either saw or heard how Jesus had treated this woman, how Jesus had interacted with Simon. And Luke alone describes, well, first, this story, this is only found in Luke, and Luke alone describes what follows. Travel to the villages and the cities, and Luke says the 12 were with him, and also many women. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and many others who provided for Jesus out of their own resources. Do you think there's a connection Luke is drawing between how Jesus treated this woman and right away mentioning that many women began to follow Jesus? The story of Jesus treating the woman with grace is only included here. It would be a mistake to say that Luke had an agenda. And I hope you don't hear me suggesting that. But Luke, I think, does want us to know something. Something that has been made clear to him as he has come to know Jesus. And Luke highlights this throughout his gospel and throughout Acts. The Greek and Jewish culture generally had a low view of women. But Jesus interacted with them as he interacted with men. He honored women with crucial roles in his ministry. They were the first to obey God in the Gospels. They were the first to announce his coming. They were the ones who supported him in his ministry. They were the first to announce his resurrection. As we presume a Greek man, Luke's heart seems to have been struck and touched deeply by how Jesus treated women. Jesus saw them in a way that was hard for men of the time. And for today, it remains hard or debatable for many. There are perhaps one or two, in my opinion, self-contradictory and complicated verses later on in the New Testament that seemingly ban a woman from participating in public roles and in leadership. And many continue to find those few words more compelling than the actions of Jesus himself throughout the whole of the Gospel of Luke and all of the behavior of the disciples and the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And it is even consistent with the Gospels. The CBWC, our association that we belong to, first voted to ordain women in the 1950s. And here at First Regina, it has been many, many decades of having women in key roles of leadership and as fully ordained members of the pastoral staff. We have been blessed by the clear evidence of the spiritual gifts in women to lead, to preach, and to teach. And I think that this goes back faithfully, not to the 1960s, not to the 1920s, but to the Gospels and to Jesus' own ministry. But this is not primarily a story about men and women. This is a story about sin and mercy. We must choose for ourselves. Around this table, who was it who could see the woman clearly? Was it Simon? Or was it Jesus? Was it Simon? Was he the one who was able to correctly judge others? To judge the woman? Could he see her? Could he see Jesus? Or was it Jesus who could clearly see Simon and the woman? Now the story is told in such a way that I suspect for all of us, we side with the woman. We're cheering for her right from the beginning. The awkward part for us is if we side with the woman, we are challenged by Jesus' words to question whether or not we are among those who have been forgiven little or those who have been forgiven much. We are challenged to see ourselves as sinners in need of forgiveness if we side with Jesus. Is there any part of us that says, I'm not as bad as so-and-so? Now, most people find it repellent when a person judges someone else out of a place of superiority, as if they know better, as if they themselves have little need of forgiveness. But we are mistaken if we conclude from this story that it's okay to judge others so long as that we remember that we too are sinners. But somehow that's more palatable. Jesus has already quite clearly, bluntly, directly, and firmly said, do not judge. But this is awfully complicated. Because clearly we are meant to discern between what's right and what's wrong, between truth and falsity. We are not in a situation where anything goes and God is just ready to accept any kind of behavior. We are meant to discern or to judge between right and wrong, sin and obedience. But Jesus said to this woman, your sins. Jesus named sin as sin. He didn't disagree that this woman had done things that were inappropriate or wrong. He didn't excuse it. He didn't say, well, you have to understand where she comes from, what she's been through. He didn't call it something other than what it was. She had sinned, and he agreed. She was a sinner. Now, the point isn't that the woman wasn't so bad after all, and that Simon is the really bad guy here. The point isn't that men are the real problem. Simon was not wrong, then, to recognize sin as sin, to be disturbed by it, to want to resist it, to want to make it clear that this is not right. Simon was wrong because he could not love the woman. And he could not love Jesus. Not being able to love, he could not see. To those gathered around the supper, Jesus said, if you know you have been forgiven much, you will have great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. To know the forgiveness of God is to grow in love. It is my experience and the experience of others throughout church history that the pathway to learning that God loves you, the pathway to learning the depth of God's love, involves admitting that you have sinned. And this means reflecting on your behavior, on your actions, on your words, on your thoughts, on what's going on in your heart. It means naming those things that are sin. Sometimes it requires the help of Scripture, of the Holy Spirit, and even of others. It means repenting of them. But Jesus forgives. We see Jesus revealed as the one who has been given authority that we have a hard time conceiving of. The authority of God to say, you are forgiven. And the result of repenting, the result of being forgiven, is that we grow in love. This is why we practice confession on Sundays and encourage it on a daily basis, not that we might grow in guilt and in shame and discouragement or in fear, but in Jesus' words, that we might grow in love. This is how we know we are growing in this love, when we can see the other person. If you reflect on your day-to-day lives and all the people that you see, whether it's at a grocery store or at a doctor's office? Do we approach each person with love? Do we try and see each person? And we run past so many that it takes practice to look at them and see them. I know there are minor frustrations that become part of our daily experience. For those of you who were born and raised in Canada, and for whom English has been your only language, the change that has happened, especially in Regina in the last 20 years or so, not even, of becoming increasingly multicultural and multilingual, has been hard to go pass through. I grew up in Toronto. I was born in Scarborough and in a neighborhood of townhouses, first starter homes, and my best friend was Jamaican, Kevin. My other close friend, Debbie, was Pakistani. The school pictures, you know, it's just like the United Nations. We were from all over the place. But here that hasn't been the case. And it's hard when you can't understand another person because of accent. We do our best, Annabelle, but it sometimes, you know, your accent, it's just... it's hard to understand one another. And then beyond the accent, there's just the sense that out of the cultural values, the way that we do things, there's a fear that we may get things wrong. So we're afraid that we may get things wrong. The other person may be baffled. We tend to think the way we do things is, of course, the right way. And, you know, I remember, the two African, what was her name? From the Congo. She was a teenager. I remember Celine. I remember Celine saying to me, it's just that Canadian food, it's just no good. You know, like nobody knows how to cook a chicken here. Where is that really dry, crispy, chewy chicken that we know how to make in the Congo? And of course, to us, it's like, what have you done to this? You know, the way we do things is the right way. And it's hard. When we're in the grocery store, and it's someone that we can't understand, I know that that can get irritating. But can we look at that person out of love? I don't think that we have to limit what Jesus is saying just to thinking we're better than others or looking for sin in others. But there's a general change in our hearts that we are invited to experience. That as we experience increasingly throughout our lives to the very end of our lives, as we experience God's mercy and forgiveness, we are invited to grow in love. And Del and Cheryl and I were talking, and it's almost as if this is a preemptive love that we carry out into the world. I will not take offense. I will not be irritated. I will see the other person, but do my best to love them. This is how we know we are growing in love, when we can see the other person before us. May we love as we have been loved, forgive as we have been forgiven. All to the glory of God. Amen.